This is a prophetic word that's happening in part. And I've been asking God that He will bless us with a token of what you're going to hear today. And because what He has in store for us is huge. And, you know, sometimes people, they just receive this much of the Spirit. And there are some that receive like the size of a cooler. Or even churches, they'll receive that much. But what God has in store for us is, I'm going to say, is as big as this sanctuary. Imagine we would be engulfed if He poured His Spirit out as huge as this sanctuary. If it were filled with spiritual water, we would be filled from within and around. And that's what the Bible calls saturate or satiate. And there's a promise that He would satiate our souls. That means we would be immersed in God's presence like water or like fire from within and all around. And because He's called us to be His witnesses, and we need the power of His Spirit to be His vibrant witnesses and to walk in the love that He's called us to walk in, and even to love our enemies and to bless them and to be ready for the Lord when He comes back. You know, if you had a key and you put it in a door and it didn't work, you just have the wrong key, don't you? And you know, you got to get the right key. And so there are promises that God wants to unfold and to bless. And so what He does, He will give a message that is a right key that will open the door to what He wants to do. And this message is a key that will open a door for those who are hungry, those who will believe. And you walk through that door, you will receive an abundance of what He has already paid the price for. And I want to say something that we don't hear a lot of. You know, John was on point when he said, this is the heart of the gospel, talking about Christ. But can I tell you also that Jesus died on that cross to get His Spirit in you? He died on that cross, yes, to save you. That is the heart. But He was so ready to go back to heaven to pour His Spirit out. He died on that cross also to get His Spirit in His church. Because He knows we cannot function in the capacity that He desires us to without His Holy Spirit filling to overflowing His bride. We try to do so much without Him. But with Him, and the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we cannot try to control the way the Spirit wants to liberate. Too many churches try that. They're afraid of His freedom. But when the Holy Spirit wants to move, we got to let Him move if we're going to receive the liberty that He desires to bring us into. Amen? Does anyone desire to be completely free? Amen. So we got about 20% in here, you know? So, you know, right? I feel dry on the inside, but I'm not. And I don't feel much of God, but you're going to watch me because God's going to animate His presence because He's in you. And as you and I take hold of the Word of God, the Spirit of God gets so stirred up and He fills us. And I pray, God, that you're just going to see me get so filled, and I'm going to see you get so filled. And if you'll walk through that door this morning, you're going to get more of His Spirit. How many of you want more of His Spirit this morning? Amen. How many of you need His Spirit? How many of you think you can do it on your own without His Spirit? Huh? You're right, we can't. And so God says, you know, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. But God's plan for Hosanna, and not everyone is willing to do this. So He passes churches up. You know, some of you have been a host in your house, and you were a host, and you had guests coming, and they were your honored guests, and you served them. And whatever they desired, you said, if, you know, is there anything I can get you And they said, I'm really thirsty. And because you were their host, you served them. You know, God's design for Hosanna is that we would be a church that would host the presence of God. You know what that means? We got to let him be our honored guest and do what he wants to do. That means today, right here, I've got to be willing to stop when he tells me to stop. And say, if he interrupts, but he's given me this message. There's been people praying over this for a month, 2 months, some of us for a year, that God would pour his spirit out so big and revolutionize our lives so big that people would hear. You know, God wants, he is excited. We need some excitement around here. I mean, not just a little. We need more excitement here. Would y'all like some more God excitement? I'm talking to the point where you will take your iPhones out and you will start videotaping what he's doing and you will send it to your friends and you will say, you've got to come here now because we're not leaving. The goodness of God can be so good that you would do that. And people will come streaming to the goodness like a river, a rushing river. I pray today, Lord, send your spirit, that we will know his spirit in a greater measure today, not just as a feeling, but as a person, an invisible person, that you and I would have a sense of someone else is here. And I don't know what it is, but my heart is crying out for that someone else. And at times the fear of the Lord seizes the hearts of people because you're encountering a heavenly being that so desires to be among his people all the time. I have 15 printed handouts of this message. And I'm asking if there would be at least 15 intercessors who will take this to heart. And you'll get one of those. And if they're all taken and you want one, I will print one out for you. And you will take this thing to God and say, God, do this thing. And God will give us a token today. See, what happens too often is that there's good worship and that is good and it's needed. And then there's these in-between things. Everything here has been so God this morning and rich. But now the word's going to come and God wants to confirm this word. But what happens, we get in a habit and we go to our lunch. We're in a routine and we're done after the message. Or we're so used to a 5-minute response. But I'm telling you, God, he is here to confirm his word. And he's going to open the door. And if you'll respond and just get a token, something's going to happen to you today. He wants to revolutionize his church because the church is going to go on till Jesus comes. And there's more people that he wants to bring here. And you know, it's like he wants to stretch our thinking. He wants to enlarge our capacity from being this big to being this big so that he can pour that bigness into us to carry that bigness out into the world. Amen? So I'm going to begin. I asked a good number of people to give me 3 to 5 reasons why someone who has planted a flower bed, flower garden, why they would water their flowers, if especially it's in the heat of the summer. So the title of this message is An Outpouring of God's Spirit, Our Need for One, and the Great Benefits that Come from One. Not just in a service, but a continuation of an outpouring with hungry people that will continue and it will bring people in so they will receive of the goodness of God and what John preached so well at communion. They will get what he paid the price for. What was been provided, and they will get the Spirit of God in them to bring the gospel in their life to animate the presence of God in them and through them. And they will become a vessel of honor. And they will go get their friends. And their friends will know what got into you. And they will say, it's not a what, it is a person. His name is Jesus and his spirit. And he'll come in you too. And so I asked, and they gave me these answers, and I'm going to read them to you. Here's why I would water my flowers. So the flowers won't droop down and look unhealthy. So they will live. You know, we can look like that, can't we? How many churches today are like that? You get around them, and they don't even speak about Jesus. It's always, woe is me. Did you hear about this? This person died. That person died. Or woe is this. Did you read the news? And there's no life of God in them. What do they need? They need to open their heart to God. They need to repent and say, God, give me that abundant life so I can carry your news to a drooping world. God didn't call us to droop, did he? He said, I've come to give you, and that you'd have it in abundance. In abundance. How many of you want his life in abundance? Say, God, fill me now while the word is going out. Say it. I'm a candidate. I don't want to be drooping. I want to be living. Amen. You know, someone else said, so they'll be healthy. Well, one very important reason to water flowers is to keep it from wilting. The water in the cells is what holds up the flower. I'm like, oh, these guys are going deep. That's why when you cease watering a flower, the flower wilts and droops lower and lower and eventually dies completely. That's why the devil distracts and diverts, does his best to keep us from the tree of life, Jesus. Because he knows if you get to Jesus every day, you're going to get his life. We water flowers to bring seemingly dead plants back to life. Plants look sad when they're thirsty. I love that. That was Kristen. I still remember that. Plants stand straighter when they're watered. And water is what plants need to withstand the heat at its worst. I would water my flowers, another person, so they would grow stronger and reproduce and make more flowers. Hey, now, I mean, we're going deeper here. Reproduce? I mean, isn't the church supposed to reproduce? Aren't we supposed to be growing? Growing. Yeah, we grew, right? Yes. He wants this sanctuary filled with people. It seats legally 999 people. I'm sure you can fit one more in, especially with little people. Watch that, Lauren. Yes, little people. Just kidding. Another said, if I were to plant my flowers, I remember this person too, I'd excitedly do whatever I could to see them reach their full potential. I'm like, these guys, what are they? They're botanists, they're studying plants and stuff. But you know, I would excited so they can reach their full potential. I think they knew what I was getting at. I'd water them because I wouldn't want them to begin to wilt, or even worse, to die out completely. I'd also water them because I desire that they would continue to increase in growth at all times. I'd want my flowers to remain lively and beautiful while at the same time increasing in liveliness and beauty. I'm like, go ahead. And then they said on another note, if I didn't water my flowers, they would never have the ability to give away nectar to the insects in need. And if I don't give them what they're in need of, they can't effectively give to others in need. Finally, because gardens and plants give off oxygen and do good things for the environment, so we need to keep them alive. And I remember Jesus saying, you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. My response to them, I replied and I said, hey, just think, you also just gave some very good reasons why we need an outpouring of God's Spirit. It's so cool to see the reasons for watering flowers, plants, to be found in different passages in God's word. What he promises will happen when he pours the Spirit out like water upon his people. Water is one of the emblems God uses of the Holy Spirit. As water refreshes, cleanses, and makes the earth fruitful, so the outpouring of his Spirit will do the same among his people. Beloved, this is not talking just about an outpouring. Just as they received that amazing outpouring on the day of Pentecost, days later, they were back in a room again, crying out to God, "Lord, behold their threats. Would you stretch your hand out again? Fill us with your Spirit so we can have boldness. And would you grant signs and wonders to be done through your servants?" There they were again, and they kept doing it. Somewhere along history, it began to die out, and so did much of the church. Just read history, and there's a great dying out. But then, thank God, you see these other things popping up, like Azusa Street, the Welsh Revival. Somebody took hold of God. It's like the prophetic word in Isaiah. He said, no one is stirring themselves up to take hold of God. You know, some people think, well, you can't do that. Only God can stir you up. Well, the Bible says you can stir yourself up. Listen, if you're hungry, you will get to a refrigerator. You don't have to say, God, lead me to the refrigerator, do you? You're like, I'm going to meet this hunger. Watch yourselves. You're going to go get something to eat after this service. Your hunger will lead you, unless you're fasting. Can we even sense the hunger pains in our spirit? TV, media, nothing in the world will ever satisfy the gnawing of your spirit hungering for the Spirit of life. You can't put ketchup in your gas tank and expect to keep going. We need the Holy Spirit in this God-created gas tank. He fuels us with the Word. Just when you eat, you're going to drink. The Word is the food. The drink is the Spirit. We need both. Amen? Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4. Look at this promise. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. And floods. I mean, he is not someone who just withholds. Not only will he pour water, he said, I'm going to do it in a measure of a flood to those who are thirsty. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing. There is a multiplied blessing that comes with the outpouring. That's why the devil fights so hard in keeping God's people from the outpouring of his Spirit, because of all the benefits that come from it. This just don't work if you try to drink with a lid on. Open the lid. He said through Psalm, open your mouth wide and I'm going to fill it. We're just going to roll with it. And I'm going to pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. Just look at the major words there. Pour, that speaks of a plentiful outpour of water. Man, the Spirit supply. It's like the Bible is a discovery book of what God promises to do. Paul said, I know that through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit, this is going to turn out for my deliverance. That means when people pray, God supplies the Spirit. You pray little, you get little supply. You pray more, you get more supply. It's just the way it is in God's economy. We read in Galatians that he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles, he does it by the hearing of faith. It's for free, and it's given to those who receive the word by faith and will come and say, I need a miracle. But notice you put those two together, Philippians 1:9, Galatians 3:5, and you get this. When you pray, God supplies the Spirit and He works miracles. It's that simple. A, B, C. Say, when we pray, God supplies the Spirit. When He supplies the Spirit, He works miracles. I'm telling you, the Spirit is hovering over us right now. Some of us are getting little spurts, little droppings, like an opening in the cloud. I saw one time at a swimming pool, I was very young, there were columns of rain. I'd never seen that before. It was so cool. I remember us kids, we would just run over to another column. Look, check that out. We would just walk over here, completely dry. It was amazing. I'd never seen that. Some of you are like, really? Yes, I really saw this. Who's ever seen that before? Columns of rain. Isn't that cool? But this was so defined. It was like we would just stop, like, wow, dry. Let's just stand under here. I mean, just a little column. Listen, Holy Spirit's like that. He's attracted to hunger. He's attracted to thirst. I want my hunger to be so great that I'm like a magnet to Him. You know what that means? I am so aware of my neediness. So I acknowledge I am poor in spirit. So I cry out to God, make my spirit rich. See, He's doing that now. I feel the Holy Spirit rising up in me. The Word is just something about the Word. Y'all know how it is. You get in the company of people in the fellowship of the gospel, there's just something comes in. We're in the prayer room. Willie walked in there, and I just said, man, strength just came in the door. More strength. Because He's full of the Holy Spirit. We've been in communication. God used Him to intercede on my behalf and other people. And He sent a word that God gave Him. He said, Pastor, God's going to do a new thing. It's going to spring forth. I said, Willie, that's the word. Spring is the word. And we see it right here. Look at that. Acts 2. I just love that picture. Isn't that cool? Day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit, He came and they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And the sound stayed where they were. And then something like tongues of fire appeared over them. And then they were filled. But there was a sound. Man, you can't see wind, but you can sure see its effects. And you know that. We can't see the Spirit. He's invisible. But when you start feeling something in your heart or wooing or this stirring going on, the Holy Spirit is in you doing something. He's preparing you. Amen. What's the ABC, everyone? Say, when I pray, God supplies the Spirit and works miracles. So check that out. He pours the floods, that's abundance, thirsty. We talked about that, and descendants. This is an amazing promise. An outpouring of God's Spirit, our need for one. The word, that scripture there says, the word says they'll spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. Like widows by the watercourses. Willows have an abundant watery bark sap. May have a picture of it. I don't know if they got that. Soft, it's usually pliant, tough wood. Slender branches and large roots, which are remarkable for their toughness, size, and tenacity to life. That's what's in the dictionary about this book, or you just look it up. It says even tenacity to life. I thought it was cool. And readily sprout from the parts of the tree. So slender branches, large roots, remarkable for their toughness, tenacity to life. Willows by watercourses grow rapidly and luxuriantly. You know why? Because they're by the watercourses. This denotes here as one of the results of an outpouring of God's Spirit, an abundant increase, vigor, and beauty, and that our posterity would be greatly blessed by God. Our posterity is our children, our grandchildren. It's just God's posterity. It's his children. And it's those who come up after us, or even after we, not to say die off, but after we leave this body and go to heaven. It's my sons. It's my daughters. It's my grandchildren. It's those who come into Hosanna after we go on, if we're still here. I love this scripture. It's so good. This supernatural growth. It's in Isaiah 32:15. And expansion was promised through Isaiah. How long do we pray for this outpouring? Until the Spirit is poured out upon us. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field becomes a forest. Do you just see increase, increase, increase? God pours the Spirit out. Look, show that other picture again. You know, you may be sitting there and saying, I can identify with that leafless tree. I feel so dry on the inside. I mean, just months ago, I was so alive. Some of you may have, I've been like that for 2 years. I feel so dry. I'm just yearning for the Spirit of God to rise up within me. And what he's saying here, that we are to cry out to God. We are to continue to press in. And not just for us, but those who will come in. Like Sandra said, when I came into the sanctuary, and people say, surely God is in this place. That's who people need. They don't need me. They need God in me. They don't need you. They need God in you. Nobody needed the old Raphael. Nobody needed the old you, so to speak, spiritually. They need Christ in us, hope of glory. The world needs the church to be full of life. Let's go. That's just sad, isn't it? That's good. You know, that's what God's plan is for the whole of Hosanna. Not just Pastor Don and Eileen. Not just so-and-so. Not just them. But the whole of the church to become like a fruitful field, and the fruitful field to expand into a forest. That goes beyond Hosanna. That goes to the churches in Baton Rouge. You know, a wilderness is barren, it's empty, it's dry, lack. How many people have we led to the Lord this past year? Well, I'm not an evangelist. I didn't ask that. Jesus said, let your light shine. Or how many have we prayed into the kingdom? Or how many backsliders have we prayed and urged, like the Bible tells us to do, back into full force? How many brothers and sisters have, you know, we hooked up with? And I just have to ask myself those questions. Am I in more fire for God and his heartbeat than I am with things in the world? Do I love my life more than his will? Do I love my family more than Jesus? You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, to love him rather than. He said more than when it comes to your spouse and your children. But when it comes to the things in the world, it's rather than. We're to love God rather than. But when it comes to people, we're to love Jesus more than. That means we side with him. We don't become rude or anything like that. Because when I love Jesus more, it makes me a better man for my wife. And it makes me a better pastor for you. But what that means is, I'm going to side with him when I stand up here before you. That means I'm going to seek his heart on your behalf. I'm going to stand in his counsel and say, Lord, what's up with your people? and not think I know by the seeing of my eyes. That means I'm going to long for you to be like that fruitful tree. And I'm going to plead for your well-being before God. And see, that's when you are a Jesus lover. You will side with him and his heart. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. Check this verse out. What a beautiful promise. Isaiah 33:21 talks about there the majestic Lord will be for us. Look what he wants to be for us. A place of broad rivers. He said through Jeremiah, I am the fountain of life. And again, remember, the serpent did not tempt Eve to eat of the tree of life. It was always to go to what's forbidden because it will short circuit the life in them. Think about it. Who in here had the devil tell you, go spend time with Jesus, please? No. How many of you have been distracted from Jesus? Not that you gave into it. I mean, just somehow busyness, and you're like, I didn't even spend time with Jesus. It was so short, on the run, and people just justify their actions so much. Well, you can pray all the time. Yes, you can. But let me tell you what, you got to get in that closet and shut that door with the iPhone out. And get an encounter with God. When you get in the secret place with him, he will see you and he will reward you openly. That is an amazing promise. Don't take me wrong. Don't read anything wrong in that. There's no condemnation. I'm just saying what Jesus said. When you pray, there's a place to pray on the go in your car, yes, but there's just something about getting undistracted, undivided with your Creator, your Savior, who purchased you with his own blood, who has the key for everything you and I need. Come on. And he just says, I'm going to be for you a place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley or oars will stand. In other words, it's a spiritual river. You're not going to find a boat in this kind of a river. Amen. 1 John 3:9 reveals that God's seed is in those who have been born again. God's seed is in those who are born again. You know what that means to me? You talk about amazing potential. Think about that. God's seed, the seed of God when you were born again, was placed in your spirit. The potential that speaks of, it's like, man, how many of you are like with me? I've got room to grow. And you know what nurtures that seed? The Word and the Spirit. And it germinates and it grows and sprouts out. It's a tender plant and it grows into fullness, into the stature and the fullness of Christ. And that's God's plan for you. And that's God's plan for me, that we all come to the knowledge of God. To the stature, the fullness of Christ. Till we all grow up in him. That's Ephesians 4. You're like, that's God's purpose. Ma'am, sir, that's why you're going through a trial right now. That's one of the reasons. Because God wants to produce more of himself in you through this. That's why we're to count it all joy. Because after we let the trial have its purpose and run its course, getting from God what he wants to work in us, we will come out complete, mature, lacking nothing for what he has brought us into for the next season. To the point till we have reached this place, the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this seed in us, because how many of y'all know Christians that got born again but aren't growing? It's because the seed's not being nurtured with the Word and the Spirit. On the count of three, would every one of you please shine me with a big smile? One, two, three. Thank you. Because this is good news. Unless, you know, there's some real good old-fashioned conviction going on or a hunger. You're like, please stop. Start the music. I want to run to the place of broad rivers. Amen? And that's exciting. Wow. Hosea 6:3. What an amazing promise. You know, God used this faithful prophet, Hosea, to give a message to unfaithful people. And so he just appealed to them in the beginning of the book, in the middle of the book, and at the end of the book. This one's in the middle. And he's saying, come on, let us know. They had head knowledge of God. They could tell you things about him, but they didn't know him. And the evidence of that was their lives. Like, how can you do what you do and say that you know God? How can you say you're in fellowship with God, yet you let your eyes behold that? When his eyes are so pure, he can't countenance evil? God's eyes are so pure, he cannot countenance evil. And yet you got God's people saying, I'm in fellowship with God, and their eyes drink in so much evil that comes across as entertainment. When that stuff churns the heart of God. So you find yourself, the Holy Spirit's ministry, saying, hey, what are you doing to God's temple? He gave his son to get me in you so that I could do glorious things through you. And that's why Paul had to come with a message. What? Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price, the blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Do not lift your spirit to an idol. It defiles. It quenches the spirit and all the fruit of the spirit. If someone has ceased from getting fresh revelation from God, I would say you probably need to look back and see where you quench the spirit who gives the revelation. See, if we quench the Spirit, we quench a lot. John 6:63. Jesus said it real plain. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. You know what that means? When God created us, he created you with a spirit, soul, body. And the only thing that's going to make your spirit work and run right is if you feed it right. And here he said, the thing that makes your spirit operative and whole and to run the way I created it is if you will put in it what I want to put in it. My word is spirit, and my spirit gives life. And you do that, it's like putting high octane in your car. It won't be pinging, it'll be running smooth. You won't be dragging trying to get in I-10. You've got the boost. And you drink your spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, the spirit was created to drink of the spirit. I'll say, you know, you read that, so you're like, God, how does that work? He'll just say, well, how do you drink water? Well, I just do that. Just do it. And open the mouth of your spirit by faith and drink. See, it's all in the Bible. It's always been there. Love it. So good. See, right now, I get to be. So I'm going to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. I got some more words to say. Let's just see what he wants to do right now, okay? That's what you do at home, isn't it? You're sensitive to him. Should I say this? Should I not? Lord, what do I need to do? And so, it's just so good. No matter how good it is, if he says stop, because I want to make room for the Spirit, and God's going to confirm his word. Anybody thirsty out there? Good. Amen. And we're going to finish with Jeremiah 31. Lord, I just ask you right now to lead by your spirit. I am just a man, but your spirit makes everything good. I just ask you to prepare a worship team. I ask you to prepare people. God, not to Lord, I just thank you that all the prayers that have gone towards this moment, you are ready to answer to those who will respond, who are hungry and able to come to your goodness. Jeremiah 31, verse 12 to 14. Therefore, they will come and sing to the height of Zion. Zion is a picture of just the presence of God, the city of God. It's the presence of God in the midst. It's like what we read in Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in her midst. See, he is the fountain of living waters. So prophetically, he's saying, therefore they shall come and sing to the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat, spiritually, the wheat would be the rich living word. They're going to come streaming for the new wine. That's a refreshing, renewal, joy of the Lord given by the Spirit. And they're going to come streaming for the goodness of the Lord for the oil. That speaks of a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God to minister effectively to people. Like when Brian was playing those drums, he was up in that prayer room earlier, and there was prayer for him that God would just even use him. And God used him in that service with a drum beat. That was the anointing of God coming on him for the service of God. You know, there was something happening during worship time. Amen? There was an opening in heaven. God uses them. They're like a key opening the door to heaven. That is so neat. And so they're going to come streaming to the goodness of the Lord. For the wheat, the new wine, and the oil, and for the young of the flock and the herd, their souls shall be like a well-watered garden. That is amazing. Verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice and dance, and the young man and the old together. That is like a happy family, isn't it? For I will turn their mourning to joy. Wow, some have been in a season of mourning. God's saying, I can turn that into joy. You come to my goodness, and I'm going to do that for you. He said they'll comfort them, and it'll make them to rejoice rather than sorrow. I want you to go back to verse 12. I'd like the worship team to come up. And you in the sound, I have we're just going to flow here. What do we need to do, church? How can we receive? Right now, he will give an individual outpouring. He will pour water on the thirsty. He's going to do this. You've received the word. The Spirit's being released. He supplied the Spirit. Some of you may never have been baptized in the Spirit. He's just going to dunk you in the Spirit. Jesus does that. Man can't do it. But just as you would go to a minister to baptize you in water, you're so cooperative, so surrendered. And when he puts his hand on you and puts you under the water, you just go with it. But when it comes to the Spirit, only Jesus can do that. But he'll use people. He doesn't have to, but he does. And they lay hands on and he'll flow through them. But know that Jesus is the baptizer. And Jesus loves to baptize people. He loves, if I can say, he loves to dunk people in the Spirit. You're immersed in him. You know, but maybe that happened to you some time ago. Maybe you're getting like that tree. You're like, I don't want to be like that dry tree. I just feel dryness. I'm not completely dry, but I feel that. And I need to be watered by the Spirit. Because you guys, sorry, you ladies and gentlemen, you're likened to trees. God likens us as sheep, trees, vessels. And what about the branches of your life? Is there a lot of fruit? You know, that outpouring, it just waters everything that you as a tree need. It brings a lot of fruit. So we must, if you would stand up with me, we must desire and thirst. You can say it by faith. You can say, Lord, I desire and my spirit thirsts for the outpouring of your Spirit. We must also earnestly seek God for this. And don't forget, if there's intercessors and you will carry this on behalf of God's plan for Hosanna, that God will so pour out his goodness here to the point where people will video with their iPhones and people will come streaming. It's like we won't straggle in late. We will come rubbing our hands with excitement. I can't wait to get to God's house. You just got to get there because you're going to come in direct into the direct presence of God Almighty. Come on, let's just lift our hands. All who are hungry, all who are thirsty, just by an act of faith, if you would just come to the front, stream to the goodness of God, as if you're getting in a pool of water. That your spirit and mind can become spiritually drenched with his Spirit. Father, here they come. You answer. Lord, stir up those intercessors that you would cause Hosanna to become a church that would be so privileged to host the very presence of the Holy Spirit in a greater measure than we are already. That people will come streaming to the goodness of God for the rich Word of God, for the rich presence of the Holy Spirit, and for a fresh anointing that will break the yoke of the enemy, that will deliver them from addictions instantly, that will set the captives free. People will be renewed. People will be born again. They will praise you. Come on, just ask God right now. Lord, here we are. Just pour your Spirit.